support you all.
Thank you. That's it for public comment. Let's go on to board comment. Would you like to start, Steve?
Thanks. So no one's going to hear my voice because they never do, so I'll apologize in advance. I want to thank everyone for coming out tonight. I know that it has been a painful conversation. It will continue to be one, I think, for a little bit. And I think we've had the value of having been at it for 18 months and kind of had a chance to absorb options and what may or may not work. So I do hear what you're saying. And certainly a lot of what I heard tonight were things we did consider. We looked through those options and we were trying to figure out how to make those work within the other parameters of what we had to work with. So certainly hear that. Certainly hear the passion about what's going on. Lots of people have mentioned different things going on in terms of changes in charter school law, both in terms of should we even enter into agreement or should we do a shorter, should we have a delay moving forward. I think the unknown of those laws going into place is something that motivates us to at least try to come to some sort of stability and agreement in this, as much as we may or may not like what we're seeing now. There are two bills in the legislature, AB 1505, 1506. Anybody can do anything to support those and get the word back up to your state legislature that you really support some movement here. They do not currently include, both do not currently include charter school cap enrollments. We'd love to see that. For someone who manages an existing charter school, having that sort of cap on enrollment be built into the process for existing ones would help us a lot. So anybody can look into that and make that word known at the state level would be helpful. We are, I always call us the unicorn in the system. We are very unique in that we have high performing schools across the whole gamut of the district. And to have a charter school woven into that system is unique in California. And so most of them don't think in terms of how we have or what we're trying to manage. Making them understand that there are impacts to the decisions they're making would be helpful for where we're moving forward here. The other thing that came up is, you know, delay a decision. And there's certainly one we considered, and I agree that with the thought process around that. Unfortunately, the best Prop 39 offer I could put in place would still not be, could be challenged as not reasonably equivalent. And the cost of doing that as an interim solution is not inexpensive. And so the money I'm taking and putting into temporary choices, delaying decisions, will actually result in having less money to invest in district facilities. So it's one of the things we weighed off and thought about. So I hope you would think about that as well. The final one, I think, is we've heard a lot of offers tonight to help us go toe-to-toe, head-to-head, take them down. When we first proposed this and first started talking, we were actually hearing exactly the opposite. So it'd be great to get some sort of consistency and thought around that. We're certainly trying to figure out a way, you know, having survived the 10 years prior to the five-year agreement, to avoid going back to that model was something we were encouraged to do. So that's what we're trying to do now, is figure out a way around that model if we could do it. So those are all thoughts that are kind of kicking around my head from what I heard. There's a lot of other things that I need to absorb. I've been making notes all night. And I appreciate the thoughts that have been shared tonight.
All right, Vladimir.
So I'm very pleased to have everybody come out to hear me speak. I noticed that some of you have left, and good. I gathered 57 different comments, that most of which I agree with, by the way. But there are a couple that I just wanted to make some comments on, and then I have some prepared remarks. One of the speakers, at least to me, seemed to imply that board members preferred or gave preference to their own school. And I just would like to put a stop to that idea. I have never seen in the four and a half years I've been on the board where a board member has given preference to their own school. It's not That's not what we do. We think of all the schools. I agree the teachers are the soul of our district, and they're the ones who are in front of our kids. They're the ones who have a great impact. And building them housing is a great idea, but we can do that independently of where we put BCS. We're not going to spend $100 million on a new site. One of the reasons why this particular site is so valuable to us is because we won't spend $100 million on it. We'll spend way less than that, in the $30, $40 million range. And we're going to get a property that's worth nearly $150 million. So it's a great deal. And again, that's independent of where we put BCS. Some people talked about multiple proposals, and I think that's a great idea. I've in some way pushed that before. There are digital tools that allow the community to make informed decisions and informed suggestions on complicated topics, not just sound bites one at a time, but we haven't used that, and I think that we ought to look at that more closely. So I think there are two principal reasons that have been given for signing this agreement. The first one is that we get an enrollment cap, and the second one is that it's the best of bad alternatives. And I actually think both of those are wrong. I think that BCS can evade any enrollment cap we put into the agreement, because all they have to do is start another charter school. And they can either transfer some of their students to that charter school, and then they can backfill in their current school. And they don't even have to transfer students. All they have to do is stop accepting students in a particular grade and tell them, oh, go over there to our associate school over there. Now, granted, starting a charter school is not a trivial idea, nor is it certain, and we can look to Bullis Mountain View as an example of failure there. But I have a hard time believing that a 6-8 Mandarin immersion program wouldn't get approved by the county or the state, because we don't serve those kids right now. So I think they could get approval for something like that and then transfer their students there. One counter argument to the they can evade our enrollment cap has been that they would never do that. That's, you know, just not what they would do. But if you think about it, that counter argument actually says that it's up to them whether they decide to do the agreement or not. And I think that including an enrollment cap is just wishful thinking. Another counter argument to evading the enrollment cap is that if BCS did this, the community would rise up and protest. Well, you are rising up and protest right now, so we don't have to wait for that event to occur. Let's just rise up right now. The second major argument is that the alternatives are worse. And I agree that the alternatives are worse, but only if we don't do anything about it. We have a lot of very intelligent people here. We have lawyers, we have event planners, we have PR people, we have marketing people. We have people who are willing to work to curb BCS's growth. That's what's killing us, BCS's growth. And there are other things we could do. We could improve our after-school programs. We could do more to celebrate our successes. We could lobby the state legislature, as was said before, to pass laws that limit charter school enrollment. We could highlight that BCS doesn't educate its fair share of Spanish-speaking English language learners, children with special needs, or low-income kids. We could hold their feet to the fire, and Mountain View Wiseman District did just that, and it stopped that charter school there. We don't discriminate against these children. We educate them willingly. They're the most expensive children to educate. We spend a lot of time thinking about that. BCS doesn't. And we could even try to litigate this thing. So let's get to work on curbing BCS's enrollment growth. And that's basically the direction I think we should go in. But I want to make two additional comments. This is not really a 10-year agreement. This is a forever agreement. Fast forward to 10 years from now, the agreement ends. What are we gonna do? We're not gonna kick them out. There are 1,200 students at Eagan. They have to stay there, and they're gonna be able to stay there for forever. We don't have any place to move them to. The written agreement says 10 years, but I believe that it's actually forever. Along similar lines in the agreement, if BCS violates the agreement, we have the option of terminating the agreement. But again, what are we gonna do if we decide to terminate the agreement? What are we gonna do with BCS? It's a remedy that has no teeth, and I just don't see that it makes any sense. Finally, as somebody has mentioned here, we're giving up Eagan. And what exactly are we getting in return? If you look at the agreement, we're actually getting less than what BCS wanted. They wanted 1,200 students, but they graciously agreed to 1,111 as a cap. They wanted more portables, but they graciously agreed not to demand them. They wanted a longer term, but they graciously agreed to just 10 years. So we end up with giving up what somebody has called our crown jewel, and in return, we just get less of what BCS wanted. One of the things that I didn't appreciate until tonight was the neighborhood school aspect of Eagan. If it goes across El Camino, there's no neighborhood there that corresponds to the neighborhood here on Portola Valley. So what should we do? Again, this was mentioned. I think we should wait a year before signing.
People, please settle down.
Please settle down.
An agreement freezes a current, very unfavorable environment for 10 years. I don't see why we should do that when there's the possibility that the laws will change. And I think we should offer BCS a take it or leave it, two-site build-out solution for 900 kids.
Guys, thank you very much, but please respect our board time. This is a board comment now. Thank you very much.
And if they decline, as I expect they will, let's get to work resisting them using the resources of our fabulous parent community and drive BCS enrollment down, because that's the real problem. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Shally would like to speak next. Shally.
Thank you. Thank you all for being here, for coming out tonight and expressing your feelings. I think that you all have a lot more stamina than the camera guy, because I have no idea where he went. I also want to thank Jessica and Brian. They were our mediation team, and I know that it wasn't easy and it wasn't pleasant, and very grateful for the work the two of you did. I am really sorry that our community is going through such a traumatizing time. And believe me, I am right there with you guys. I am only 4 months old in this job. And not too long ago, I was sitting in the audience with you. And it's not better sitting up here. It hurts as much as it did when I was sitting out there. Trust me that I hear the anguish and the heartbreak behind your anger. I feel a lot of that myself. I have read all of the emails that you've sent me. I'm not always able to answer all of them, but I am happy to meet with you one-on-one, so please do send me an email. This is a very difficult challenge, and it's complicated by all the parameters that the board has to work within. Not the least of which is current charter school laws. And I want to echo what my colleague said about supporting the bills that are in the legislature right now. I've spoken to a few of our local legislators, and they hear you. Their offices are getting your phone calls, and they are getting your emails. So I ask you to keep up the pressure on our legislators. I've spoken to a few people at our County Board of Education, and they're getting your phone calls, and they're getting your emails. So keep the pressure up on them, because truly, they're the only ones who can enforce anything with BCS, and they're choosing not to. and our district has to bear the brunt of their inaction. And some of the people I know up there are good people, but they really need to have more pressure put on them to oversee BCS. So for me, capping BCS's enrollment growth is a top priority. And I think we've heard that over and over again tonight. I understand that this is a really hard deal to swallow, but it does give us a cap. If we don't do this and we go to Prop 39, we don't get a cap. If we wait a year and see what the legislation turns out, we still don't get a cap. They can grow this year, they can grow next year. And I don't know at what point we have no choice. We cannot enforce a cap on them. But the why 10 years? Someone said 10, well actually quite a few of you said 10 years is such a short amount of time, I'm personally not comfortable with anything much longer than 10 years because let's put BCS in the context of our surrounding community and what's happening in the Bay Area. I know a lot of you must have friends in Redwood City, and you know that there are schools closing in Redwood City. I do not want to see that happening in Los Altos. And being able to move Egan to another site is one way of mitigating that, not having to close Egan. But besides that, a lot of you have talked about the concern about educating low socioeconomic status kids and special needs kids. And this is why I'm comfortable with 10 years and not anything longer. Because I'm going to watch BCS, and I hope all of you watch BCS too. I want to see how well they actually hold.
Excuse me, she's talking, so can we be quiet while she's talking? We were quiet while you were talking. Thank you.
I want to see how well they actually uphold educating all of our kids, because all means all. And I'm not sure, seeing the debacle that happened in Mountain View, what they're going to do. So that's kind of all I have to say for now. But I do encourage you to reach out and set up some meetings with us one-on-one.
Thank you. Brian.
Thank you. I think my primary feeling right now is emotional exhaustion. I'm probably not the only one in this room. We've been struggling with this for a long time, and part of what makes it so hard is that there are so many contradictions inherent in what we're trying to do here, right? We want to maintain the status quo and keep them on Block and Egan, but we want the traffic nightmare that is Portola to not be there for the rest of our lives, and those things are in tension. I hear the calls for transparency and the questions about why this was done confidentially. We can't, unfortunately, under the rules, say anything about what was discussed during confidential mediation, but I think I can say that I agree that if it had been our first choice, that might not have been our preferred mechanism. But you can only discuss, you can only have discussions if you can get the other side to the table first. I think it is a testament to Principal Dykeman and the other teachers, I don't know if any of them are still here, if they've all gone home at Egan, about how great they are, that they are so beloved by this community. And, you know, I have faith that they could do an equally good job in whatever building they were forced to teach out of. I would like to, sorry, it's late, my choice of words might not be perfect. Whatever building they needed to teach out of. You know, I do, in fact, have a child at Egan. I walk around the campus all the time. It kills me to look at the mature redwood trees and think about walking away from them. It really does. None of us are considering this because we want to consider this. I think Shelley talked a little bit about the long term versus the short term, so I won't repeat that. I think there are a lot of questions about traffic flows, population. We're going to come back and consider this a couple more times before we make a decision. From Jeff or Randy, I would love to see data about where Egan students live, who would be going where. I think some people who I hear dismiss the neighborhoods across El Camino, the north side of El Camino, as not real neighborhoods and totally unfit for children are making some of the same category mistakes that we hear the charter school making. And so as we've said, we consider all the kids. There's more than a school's worth of kids who live on that side, and we need to accommodate them. I agree that absent BCS, the 10th site would best be served as an elementary school for those kids. But we have BCS, and we gotta make tough choices. I hear the fear of disruption. I fear it as well. I agree with, I can't remember if it was Steve or Vladimir, that the feedback we got before was that the number one priority of our community was to not shut down a neighborhood school. In my mind, that was a neighborhood elementary school. Even though I live in the Egan neighborhood, it was not in the same category. That was perhaps my mistake. Clearly, I understand the feeling from this room that they do consider a neighborhood school, and that's something that we're gonna have to factor in. But here's the question. So BCS for 2019 is gonna enroll 20% of public school kids in our district. And so when I'm thinking about this, and I encourage you to have conversations, as I put up on the slide, we've got office hours, we've got school visits. I feel that there's an inflection point here about whether BCS is going to be a charter school or a charter school district. Are they going to be a school or a school district? Some of you might not know that head of their school has had the title superintendent from day one. There is clearly, you know, as the president of their board has said repeatedly, he believes they should be able to enroll anybody they want. And clearly there's a faction on the board that agrees with that, given their repeated growth and their unwillingness to stick with the status quo that we've had for the last 5 years. So what I struggle with is, I don't see a way to give them a single school site without displacing one of our schools, and that's the last thing that I want to do. The 10th site would have been a great solution if we could have done it last year, when they were still small enough to fit, but they're not. So we either have to get them onto a single school site, or we have to put them across the district. And putting them across the district, my big fear is that putting them across the district turns them into a shadow school district. And our administrators and our teachers spend time that they should spend educating our children, trying to coordinate NPR schedules, library schedules, field schedules, sharing campuses, and competing head-to-head with enrollment. It's not fair. They shouldn't be allowed to do it. We are trying to take away their ability to do that. But that's what we're facing in the short term. That is why this is so hard. So I haven't, even though Jessica and I brought this to the board because we thought it was worth considering, I haven't decided yet whether I think we should go through with this. So, but what I haven't found yet is an option that I'm sure will do less damage to the district in the short term and the long term. So that's where I am. And I look forward to the conversations continuing over the next couple of weeks.
All right, thank you. So it's my turn. I, you know, roughly will end up repeating a lot of what Brian, Shali, and Steve has said, so I won't actually repeat it all that much. Also, the way I deal with making public comment as a board member is I also chew on it for a while. So I am going to chew on it for a while. But just like Brian said, is that while we brought this to the board as a solution that we thought is in the best interest of the district, my decision's not 100% made. I've been listening to everything you said. I've been taking furious notes, and I'll be chewing on them. We're not making a decision tonight. We are here listening to you, listening to your comments, and we'll be considering them while we go through this process. And I will be at all those school site forums, or I plan to, barring some child emergency, because I have 3 kids. I want to really do point out that under Prop 39, at least BCS thinks their reasonable equivalence is 20 acres. And our preliminary facilities offer that we would end up having to fall back on for this year would require significant amount of sharing at Egan and Block and Loyola. That's 50% more, 50% sharing at Egan for PE, library, computer lab, any sort of common space that they would need to have use of, and at the same at Block, and then Loyola would be 30%. That is significantly more sharing than they have now or would have in the proposed agreement. Sharing not only means less resources for our kids, but also means more time spent by our administration and teachers, making it more work. Having 10 schools on 10 campuses in the long term allows everyone to go back to focusing on what they do best, offering a great education. Without an enrollment cap in this last year, BCS unilaterally grew to 200 in-district students. If they continue to grow without an enrollment cap, they have promised to grow to at least 1,200 in their term and to at least 1,800 in the longer term. Barring a change in the charter law, the only way LASD can control BCS's enrollment growth is through a negotiated agreement. But saying that, we need the charter law to change. It is not in our favor. 100% not in our favor. So I like everybody's passion about that. Keep up with it. We will too. And the thing is, Eagan would be getting a brand new campus with brand new buildings, brand new fields, and a brand new gym. The new Eagan Junior High will, in fact, have better facilities than it currently does, and BCS will be left with old Eagan facilities as is. And really, what I do like the most about this is we will finally be able to offer our wonderful teachers affordable housing. Many of our teachers live nowhere near Los Altos School District and have to go through hours of travel time a day to get to work, to and from work. As we all know intimately, the cost of housing in Los Altos and Silicon Valley has gotten out of control. To ensure we can hire and retain great teachers, the ability to offer affordable housing is a must. So that's what I have to say for the evening, but honestly, I do love your passion for changing the charter line, a passion for your schools. I have that same passion for my school, but I want you to let you know, I am a Covington parent, and I have considered Covington as part of the solution. We have considered Covington as part of that solution. I did not go into this because I wanted to save Covington. I went into this because I want to save the entire school district. I want our entire school district to survive into the future. I moved here because I loved Los Altos School District, all the schools, not the one school my kids go to. Thank you very much.
Quick follow-up. Steve mentioned, and I cannot underscore how critical this is, that we get voices in our legislators' ears. Every single person here, we need that. We need your spouse. We need your neighbor. We need the person down the street. We need you to do outreach. Assembly Bill 1505 is the first one, sponsored by Patrick O'Donnell. That is one that has to do with authorization of charter schools and who authorizes it. These are all online. You can look at them. 1505 is critical. It would be helpful to us as a school district. 1506 is sponsored by Assemblymember McCarty out of Sacramento. That assembly bill has to do with caps. That's another critical bill. Both of those are mission critical. 1506, just so you understand the energy behind this, 1506, when it came forward, almost immediately a letter was sent, signed by 161 charter schools signed jointly. This is a machine that is looking to take over public education, right? We need people to rise up, contact your local assembly member, who is Mark Berman, office right on El Camino Real, right? He takes emails, he takes phone calls. If you need the contact information, let me know. Our state Senator Jerry Hill also needs to be contacted. right? We need every single person in the game here. If you've never contacted an assembly member or a state senator, it's a lot like coming here and talking to the board, right? They want to hear your input. They want to hear where you stand. They are going to, they want to get reelected, and they are going to respond to what they hear. We have a, Steve called it a unicorn. We have a unique situation here in this district, and it needs to be addressed. So please contact each of your elected representatives.
All right, thank you. So that's it for board discussion of H1, the proposed 10-year facilities agreement with Bullish Charter School for this evening. You, as you saw, we have a huge schedule of continuing to discuss this, and I hope to see you at the different tours. So